Hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 110. That's right. We've reached 110 episodes. We are very excited and very proud of ourselves. So happy holidays, everybody. We appreciate you listening. I'm your host, Jose. Today's episode, we will be sitting down with Sean of Cream Boutiques. Sean is actually a good friend of ours. Actually, we met him a couple of weeks ago, I think about... I want to say 8 weeks ago, and we were actually at an event in, no, it was in August. Yeah, we were at an event for Communitive, and it's been a crazy event for him. Him being now the designer of the year for Phoenix Fashion Week, and he was kind enough to bring his friend along, and Sean happens to be a business owner. And he told me about his business, and I was really intrigued, and I felt like he was a perfect match for this month. And because we're trying to show and demonstrate the expansiveness of the idea of green and, you know, green living and green life and all this sort of thing, we felt like it was necessary to throw in a little bit of just like fun and joy, and this is that. And so Cream Boutiques is a cannabis ice cream that also has non-dairy for the vegans and for lactose intolerant people like myself. I just think that this is wonderful because A, the cannabis part makes it very interesting and very, I guess, controversial sense part of it. And B, because we've known Sean for a while, we felt it was necessary because he's simply like, this is how the podcast was supposed to work, is we meet people all the time. And when I first started out, I would meet these business owners with such intriguing stories, and Sean kind of built himself up just the way I wanted to be, because I met him through a friend, Q from Communitive, and he just, you know, introduced himself, told me about his business, and I was like, yeah, bring him on, let's do this. So thank you, Sean, for coming on, and I appreciate you coming on and giving us a little bit of insight of who you are and what your business is like, and just kind of the things you've been through. And so we appreciate that, and making a new friend like this is a lot of fun. And you know, we hope that you guys check out his stuff. I haven't gotten a chance to taste it, and he's gonna give me some samples, but once I get a couple of samples, I'll let you know and I'll give you my critique. But as for now, go check out their website. It's really cool. Their branding is really sweet. Like, it, the idea of cream, like people think, is ice cream, and so bring a little joy, bring a little happiness. Everyone loves ice cream. I think everyone's gonna enjoy some cannabis ice cream. And yeah, check them out. This is a wonderful business. And let's jump into a little bit of paying the bills here. We are at findingarizona.com. You can also reach us at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com if you want to be on an episode. You can also reach us at all of our social media at Finding Arizona Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We are all there for you guys to take a listen to, and we post everything that we can. Brittany's getting better at doing videos. We're trying to like really expand, and we're gonna try and dive into a little bit more live. I did one and I was very nervous about it, but we had some fun. I showed you guys how I do the intros, and so we are hoping to expand more and more. And if you guys want to be along for the ride, we appreciate it. Thank you for following us. Also, you can reach us at SoundCloud and iTunes, and right there I would say help us out, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, tell us what kind of people you want to hear on the episodes on our page, and have some fun, guys. We are here connecting with everyone, and I appreciate it so much. We actually went to an event yesterday. I think it's the Phoenix Festival of the Arts. That was a lot of fun, walking around and seeing all of the talented people there. I always like those little craft places because it's just, it shows the ability of people, no matter what age, no matter where they come from, everyone's got a little bit of a talent on them, and whether it's art or music, whatever it may be, I like hearing that, and I like experiencing that, and it just really says a lot about everyone's individual story. So, I'm super excited. We are chugging along at the end of this year, and we're going to have a couple of episodes ready for you for the holiday. So stay tuned for us. We are not going anywhere. Ed, for those of you who want to know, we are actually going to go on a little vacation next week. So hopefully we're going to try and get some episodes pre-recorded and then set them up for you guys to listen to. And I appreciate everyone listening for this entire year, making us going to 100 episodes. Thank you to all the guests. It's been a lot of fun. There will be an episode where we kind of go back and look back on all the episodes that we've done this year and kind of talk about them. Me and Brittany never get a chance to like talk with each other on these episodes, so this is always kind of fun for us to do. It's going to be a blast. We're going to go back into all the episodes that we've done and be like, oh yeah, I remember that one. And so it'll be a fun one. Thank you again for listening. This is episode 110 with Cream Boutiques and Sean. Thank you for coming on. Let's go.
It's probably pretty lit right now.
How's it been going, dude? Like, let me.
It's been good, man.
Good. Business is good. You went through the rebrand and stuff like that.
Yeah, dude. Really excited about the rebrand. So that's kind of new. Working on a couple new flavors. Doing the new whole non-dairy line is really exciting. Trying to just kind of roll some momentum into summer, so that way, you know, we have a little bit of a little bit of steam going into, you know, whenever it's hot and things are selling like crazy. So, right now we're anticipating a little bit of a slowdown, but I mean, even days like this, it's still kind of hot out.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, talking to someone today, like, are we going to get a winter?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm like, yo, I bought all these coats for Black Friday. I hope I get to use them. Sheesh.
No, the funny thing is, though, too, it's like, though, if you were any other state, you'd be like, I wish I had this.
Yeah, exactly.
And all right.
It just makes it feel more like the holidays when it cools down.
Yeah, when it's the thing about Arizona, it's annoying is it'll do that thing where it's really cold in the mornings, or it'll be cold for a couple of days, and you're like, yes, winter is here.
Yeah.
Break out all your cold gear, and then it's like 98 degrees on winter on the weekend or something like that. So.
But. You ready?
Yeah, let's go into it. How close should I get? Or?
You can be as comfortable as you want to be comfortable.
Should I be a little bit, or?
Yeah, it'll pick you up.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable talking like this. Should I have? Yeah.
No, you're good. I don't want to scare you because some people like don't like to listen to their own voice and it kind of throws them off.
Yeah, I actually can see that a lot. Yeah, so probably better I don't have headphones.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jose. We are here today celebrating the month of December, but we're recording this in November, I think. Right, November 26. Okay. Yay! And what we're doing here to this month is we're celebrating the idea of green and green. Like, in a sense, we're trying to expand people's horizon on understanding not only environment, but how far can we push the idea of green, in a sense. But today we have a very special guest. We met you through Quinn.
Yes,
and
Cumulative.
Yes, Cumulative. We actually met at his halfway mark on Phoenix Fashion Week, which we recorded with him actually on Friday.
Yeah.
Friday. Oh, nice. He was here. I told him to come back.
Dang, yeah, no, we should all have a little session. Exactly.
Well, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and your company, and so go ahead.
Yeah, well, my name is Sean Sherwood. I'm the president and creative director of Cream Boutiques.
Yes.
We're actually the only medical marijuana ice cream brand here in Arizona. We currently have 5 flavors, both in, you know, dairy and non-dairy, vegan, trying to cater to as many, crowds as possible. Yeah, that's us. We're available at www.creamandcannabis.com, at cream.boutiques, and
I want to say that this encounter was like a magical moment for me just because we had started the process of understanding, you know, cannabis and cannabis used in a more functional method. One, we did a topical spray group here called, what's his name? Oh, man, it's going to kill me. We talked about
it. Is it like Spray and Go or something
Yeah,
like
spray,
that?
Like Spray Relief.
Yeah, spray and relief. Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, I've met them as well, like on the convention floor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, we actually used to use the same lawyers. So
yeah, that's
kind of a small world.
Yeah, we were a small world, and I was like, dude, I got to get you on the podcast. And also, like, this is perfect too because you had brought up the veganism and kind of how you process ice cream. I'm myself lactose intolerant. I want to get into a little bit of that, like how does that work for this style of ice cream? Does it benefit it more that it's vegan? Like, what's the kind of takeaway from going and changing a little bit? No, you guys didn't change the
formula. Change it. Yeah, we just added some new flavors. Well, the thing is that, you know, of course, the, you know, veganism, you know, plant-based diets and stuff like that, it's definitely more of a trend. You know, we're seeing, you know, I think all over, you know, especially with all the documentaries like What the Health and things like that.
Yep.
So actually, you know, even before that, right out of the gate, one of the first, you know, pieces of feedback we got was, you know, it's great, but do you have a non-dairy option? Do you have, like, you know, this or that, you know, you know, just for, dietary restrictions and stuff like that. So what we've done is we do a, fruit sorbet, and then we also do a chocolate sorbet, and the chocolate sorbet is still, we've, you know, sourced vegan chocolate, vegan baker's chocolate, and cocoa powder for that.
Nice.
So both of those are going to be vegan friendly, and it's essentially with the fruit sorbet, it's both of them have very, very simple ingredients. It's going to be your fruit base, honey, obviously our cannabis extract, and you know, a little bit of a sunflower lecithin to be able to bind things and stuff like that. But we try to keep things as, you know, simple as possible. You know, so you can have a treat, but it's not going to be, you know, obviously don't have dairy in it, and something's going to be a little bit better for the health conscious crowd and stuff like that.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's kind of how we've come about that. Like I said, the mango pineapple is going to be a fruit base as well as the raspberry, and then the chocolate sorbet is a simple syrup base.
You're making me hungry already.
No, I did. My mouth's watering as well, man.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, because, you know, this isn't something that people kind of go out and seek on it every day. Like, cannabis, essentially in itself, too, is another kind of, like, takeaway that I want to bring up, that people don't typically say yes to an industry that is looked at in a more serious manner like they do with cannabis.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, with legalization coming about with, you know, Colorado, Washington, and I think, like, you know, six or seven other states, including District of Columbia, things are becoming a lot more serious. I think the last MJ BizCon here in Las Vegas saw numbers of, you know, over, I think I saw 10, 15,000 attendees, something like that.
Nice.
But, you know, whenever I got into the cannabis industry in 2011, it definitely was still, you know, the way that you're describing it. People were very, very, you know, timid to be able to get into the industry, and taking it more as something that, not necessarily a fad, but something that wasn't fully developed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started working actually before, you know, dispensaries were in place. When the law had just passed after 2010, there were a lot of patient and caregiver collectives.
Yeah.
And so I got in on the ground floor, you know, with the patient collective group. That ended up flourishing and, you know, grabbing a dispensary license whenever they were allocated.
Okay.
You know, moving up the ranks that way. And so I've, you know, been very fortunate and, you know, privileged to be able to see, particularly in Arizona, the, you know, industry flourish from, you know, a spot where, you know, really it was nothing, you know, people just getting together and figuring out how things were going to work to now. I mean, you know, we have multiple brands that are, you know, brands that are moving out to other states, and also brands from other states that are moving in. So, yeah, things are definitely getting a lot more serious, and seems like the industry, as well as, I mean, you know, a lot of news coverage and things like that, are starting to portray things in a lot more of a brass tacks, dollars and cents, real strong startup business sort of
the
sense.
The fundamentals, too. I think there's a lot of things that, education-wise, would be necessary to kind of, like, get more, I guess, clientele that way, to kind of, like, sway that way, the like the numbers, like you were saying, and the brass tacks of it. What learning curve would you say for someone who's looking for a business type like this? I mean, to jump into the business in this realm, you know, what kind of, like, necessary things that you had to kind of go and stumble upon before actually getting momentum going?
Yeah, Well, the interesting thing about the industry, not only here, but I think kind of, you know, across the nation, because it's still, you know, it's big business, but it's still small. You know, we're not legalized in all 50 states.
Yeah.
So a lot of it comes down to networking. A lot of it comes down to either A, who you know, or B, who you get to know. So really, you know, going out to the events, shaking hands, you know, being cool, so to speak. And, you know, luckily in the cannabis industry, that's pretty easy, you know.
Just be cool, guys.
Yeah, right.
Just be cool.
Just be cool. Easier, you know, maybe easier said than done, but it is a pretty laid back industry and people are pretty, you know, at least here in Arizona, people are pretty welcoming, you know, people want to help other people get into the industry.
Nice.
So, yeah, I would say definitely if you're looking to get into the industry, start going out to some of these networking events. The Marijuana Industry Trade Association, MITA, I believe they meet the last Wednesday of every month.
Okay.
You know, Canna Friends, they meet the third Thursday of every month. You know, things like that. If you can start going to those and just, you know, getting some FaceTime in.
Yeah.
That will really help you, you know, figure out, even if you already have a route in mind of where you want to go in the industry, be it edibles, concentrates, this or that. You know, that'll help, I think, guide you along more to the path to get to where you're going.
Got it.
So, yeah, networking is key for sure.
What so give me the story behind the name and kind of deciding, you know, because you also said that you guys went through, we've discussed this off air, is that you guys had to go through a rebranding phase. And so give us a little bit of history on, like, the name of it, how you guys came to decide these fundamental flavors, like that sort of, like the first couple of months.
Yeah, definitely. So we've been about for about 2 years now. It is a little bit of a long story, but you know, I guess since it's a podcast, I can go ahead and tell that. So we started out actually, again, you know, doing collective work. The collective, you know, that we were operating as caregivers was called Green, just Green period caregiver collective. Collective work, you know, as dispensaries got bigger and bigger and more, you know, more licensed dispensaries came online, you know, it essentially, you know, was the loophole that was operated about, you know, through those collectives was closed. And, you know, it just didn't make sense to have, you know, unlicensed collectives working alongside with fully licensed dispensaries, you know, that had a lot of regulations and, you know, things they had to comply with. So we shut down the collective, but in, you know, kind of an homage to, you know, the name Green, when we established our first licensing deal down in Tucson, we had a concentrate line called Gold. Then a, you know, the edible line was Cream, which is, you know, another color, but also, you know, played in with the fact that, you know, our main product was going to be ice cream. So it started out as Cream Cannabis Confectionery. We sourced all of our artwork from local tattoo artists. Actually, shout out Christian Levis from Pharaoh's Horses Tattoo down on 4th Ave.
Nice.
He did
out to
our
him.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to him. He did all of our logo work and all of the you know, small. We had a kind of a cool American traditional you know, look going on with a lot of our logos and stuff like that.
Yeah, like the American style tattoo, like, you know, those old. What do I want to say? Like the sailor tattoo style?
Yeah, exactly. Like the Sailor Jerry. So I'm kind of taking a little bit from like the Sailor Jerry rum line and stuff like that. So, you know, that was great. And we came out onto the scene during Southwest Cannabis Conference. Was that 2015? Actually, the first year.
Nice.
And it was, you know, we were kind of a breakout brand and we definitely made a splash in that, you know, our packaging was a little bit cleaner than, you know, some of the things on the market. And we were one of the first ice cream brands out there and stuff. Things, unfortunately, with our Tucson partners broke down. I'll say word to any cannabis entrepreneur, make sure you get any deal that you have in writing before you do any work.
Oh.
You know, I'll go ahead and leave it at that. Yeah, but get it in writing, my friends. But you know, when we moved up here to Phoenix, you know, again, you know, going to the events, talking with people, I actually met our now licensor just outside. You know, I was you know, smoking outside the event and just taking a quick break, struck up conversation with him. Shout out to Tammy and Paul and Jeff, all of our friends over at Glendale Greenhouse.
Yeah,
that's our new licensor. We were licensed up with them actually just before the second annual Southwest Cannabis Conference. So we were able to have a booth again that year.
Nice.
Last year in 2016. And that was kind of our second entry into the market, where we took a really sharp focus on our ice cream.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of business from that. And we've been in Glendale Greenhouse on the shelves since January 1st of 2016. So we're just coming up on a year. And, now we've gotten to, I think, 22 dispensaries that
nice.
We're at.
Nice, very cool.
Yeah, so everywhere from, here to, Glendale Greenhouse is our home shop. So if you're going to go anywhere, try to go there.
Yeah.
But we are in, Mesa, Tempe, Scottsdale, like Havasu, Flagstaff,
okay.
Cottonwood, pretty much everywhere, you're going to go here in Arizona, you can find us.
Is the shipping all locally? Like, are you guys the shipper or what?
So basically we have a co-packing distributing deal with Glendale Greenhouse.
Okay.
So they license all our brand and all of our flavors and all of our intellectual property. They have, their little trusty team of elves out there that make it at the greenhouse there, and then Tammy from AZ Medicinals, actually I believe they're now called Top Shelf, is our distributor.
Okay.
So if anybody's listening and wants to get a sample pack, email Tammy at azmedicinals.com. She'll be able to help.
Oh, great! That's gonna go well.
Yeah, exactly. So dispensaries only, of course. But so she's the one that distributes all of it. She takes it all over the state.
Yeah.
Hustles super hard. She's on the road going pretty much everywhere every week. So that's how it goes down. And then my partner and myself, whenever there's new flavors to be made, they're gracious enough to let us into their kitchen, be able to test out new flavors.
Nice.
And then write up recipes for them.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Are you like, what's the kind of, I guess my next question is like, what's the seasonal change? Like, do you guys just do like the four season kind of add an extra flavor on there, or are you always testing out different stuff?
So we're just now getting into the cycle. We after our first year, we just had the three flavors, the mint chip, strawberry delight, and coffee bean. You mentioned that we were doing a rebrand, so we've just launched our rebrand, and along with our rebrand came three new flavors, vanilla bean, a chocolate sorbet, and a mango pineapple. So we've rebranded with a new name. We went from Cream Cannabis Confectionery, which was, I'll admit, a little bit of a mouthful,
yeah.
and sometimes hard to say, if you're trying to do an elevator pitch to somebody, to, Cream Boutiques, which,
nice.
Yeah, it left the main name, which is Cream.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've always tried to subscribe to an idea of what we call boutique cannabis.
Okay.
So making sure that we, essentially focus on quality over quantity.
Got it.
And make sure we're not cutting corners and going the extra mile in all of our products, branding, this and that.
Okay.
And so we felt that kind of more, embodied our what we're shooting for an overall brand.
Good.
So in the future, going from, 2017 to 2018, people should anticipate every quarter, so every 3 months, we'll be having seasonal flavors.
Sweet.
Yeah, so those will be seasonal, and it'll be get them while they're hot, because as soon as the season runs out, then they'll be gone.
Nice.
And, yeah, so just keeping it, mixing it up and stuff like that.
Okay.
Our s'mores flavor actually got second place at the 710 Cup last year.
Nice.
And people should... We ran into a little bit of a hiccup during production at that time, so it wasn't able to be released, but people should definitely anticipate that being released.
Oh, nice.
As one of the first few flavors. So.
Nice. That's, I like that. I like how we get the scoop sometimes. We're just like here, just like, no.
Ah! Okay. I like it. There we go.
That's just a little bit of weed humor, guys.
Yeah, no. It lends itself well because the weed industry is... I don't know if we have a problem at this point, but there are puns everywhere.
Yeah,
we
I think it's just intentional.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just really intentional. Just, if you're gonna like they said, just steer into the curve or something like that.
Yeah, play into the culture, And I think cannabis culture, we have a good humor or a good sense of humor. So
yeah,
there's a lot of wordplay.
What are some of the kind of like cool experiences as far as like? I want to say there's got to be some unique stuff that happens at like especially the cannabis market area, like doing the festivals and things like that, or doing the everyone convention centers.
Oh, the conventions. Yeah.
What are some of like the products that you see like I know that there's like, now there's like cough syrup made out of cannabis, like just like every day, like those home remedies. There's they some really cool, unique items.
And it's cool because we have some really awesome homegrown brands that I'm really excited about that. You know, shout out Nadim from Bake Bros.
Okay.
They make the cannabis cough syrup. Those guys are doing it way crazy. I think I saw they were like giving a gift box to Joe Rogan the other day or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and then also, you know, we have some other cool brands like the Dutchies brand.
Okay.
Shout out Allison Miller from Dutchies. They do a cool, it's like a cigarette pack, but it's filled with six, I believe, half gram pre-rolls. And it's kind of become the thing that cannabis industry is, when you get a pre-roll, it's usually like some salad mix of like, you know, shake that, you know, the people didn't want to sell in the shop.
Yeah.
But the Dutchie stuff is always like nug run, you know, really good quality stuff. You know, so it's kind of like what you imagine, you know, when you're like, you know, maybe like just starting to smoke, like, man, what is weed gonna be like when it's legalized? Like, you're gonna be able to buy Marlboro 420. It's like, you don't have to, because you can buy Dutchies.
Yeah.
And they're even better. So, yeah, Dutchies, actually, they had a whole block for all of their brands under Hana Meds. That was really cool. There's actually a lot going on just in the space. It's cool to see that it's a very diverse industry for sure. There's a lot of people that are, you know, younger, a lot of people that are older, a lot of people that are, it's actually really well diverse in terms of gender, orientation, as well as race, which is great.
Nice. Very good.
It's, you know, I mean, granted, every industry has a long way to go, but it's cool to see. I mean, I've even seen some new studies done by New Frontier that show that 40% of the marijuana workforce is women.
Nice.
You know, something that
that's,
you know,
crazy.
Yeah, compared to something like the tech industry where they're looking at, you know, less than 10%. Something where, you know, I would love to be love to be 50 or even more.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that we're shelling out 40, I think is really
says
great,
a lot.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a really cool, honestly, diverse industry that there's a lot going on, not only with the products but with the people too. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, there's this anywhere between, like, I watch it shit ton of Viceland, and so it's like just watching some of those stories and some of the things that they have on just their weed etiquette show. That's
Weedicate.
It's just like amazing. Like, I was taken back by the tribe that's trying in Vegas or in Nevada trying to like do a grow dispensary like outside the strip, because their reservation is considered they're a sovereign nation, so they don't abide by like those federal logistics or something like that. It's like a full tribe that like they're building their own dispensary and grow house. It was like, it's the way that they're trying to like do economics in their trying to like really plunge in and do a hyper, like just full on needle to their economics by taking the cannabis and hopefully running with it and building their economics infrastructure based on that grow house.
Yeah, and just based on like the plant and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to see. And I mean, that's the first thing that everybody, you know, draws to whenever they think about legalization is, you know, the tax revenues and things like that. I know in Colorado, they've seen tons of tax revenues that have gone back to the school system, things like that. And it's great to be able to see that, you know, cannabis can be able to do that. You know, because it helps, I think, remove a little bit of the stigma, you know, that, you know, marijuana's kind of gotten over the years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if there's any ways that we can be able to give back to the community that's allowed us to be able to, you know, do what we do, you know, it's great. And I think that you're going to see a lot more of that, you know, people coming around based on the idea of the economics of it, based on the idea of the tax revenues. And
the medical side to it too. I mean,
yeah, actually the medical side is huge. You know, something that's actually really interesting is the different ways that people can take in cannabis. Like another thing that's really big right now is topicals. You know, people just rubbing it on their skin. I think who is it? Downtown Dispensary. Shout out Alex Sternheim from iLava. They do a topical that's, you know, THC CBD infused.
Okay.
Nice. And yeah, you just rub it directly onto the affected area, and that, you know, you're not actually getting high from it because it's being transmitted transdermally, but you're getting all the relief and all the benefits from the THC and the CBD.
I love that. I personally use the CBD oil just the, like a rub so that my lower back, every now and again, I just need it. And it, I attest to it every time. It's like, it's fantastic.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. Like and I'm even, you know, someone that's like, you know, a long-term marijuana user. When the topicals first came about, I was even a little bit skeptical. I was like, but like, you're not feeling it, like in your head, you know, it's not psychoactive. So it's like, how much of that is placebo effect? And then I actually got to try some, it was a lotion actually.
Oh,
just
nice.
Like in a bottle. Yeah. It was, from, the Green Halo, actually pain relief lotion. Huh. And, I woke up just, you know, kind of a pretty common thing where you sleep on your neck wrong.
Yeah.
And you wake up the next day, you know, with the Frankenstein, you know, like can't move. Yeah. So I, just took a big, you know, glob of that and, you know, did a quick, you know, rub onto my neck and it was really quick, you know, like, the relief.
Yeah. And she just went through the same thing just like a couple of days ago.
Yeah, exactly. And it like just melts away. And like next thing you know, like, okay, I've got a little bit more range of motion.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I'm a believer, you know? So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's really cool to see like, you know, the different uses and the way that people are kind of just doing, you know, making the maximum amount of, you know, benefit from the plant.
Yeah. I just, it's really cool because, you know, meeting you was, it was really interesting to kind of see what the next levels of the market is. Also to see someone my own age, like also doing it. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like you've been doing it for this long. It's doable. It's possible. Like it's,
appreciate it.
Yeah. And it's just, it says a lot about you as an individual. And we just hit it off right off the bat. And I wanted to ask, like, what's your, like, how are you connected to Quinn? Cause he never told me.
Quinn. Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, another entrepreneurial thing I was into, me and Quinn met at, it's like a streetwear gathering down in Tucson.
Okay.
Because I used to actually, run a streetwear brand called Spaceman Unlimited.
That
was like
my
first kind of soiree into, you know, owning my own business.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like right out of high school, I think 18 through 21, I operated that.
Nice.
And, you know, it was cool. For me, it was more of like a training session. You know, it was kind of like my version of business school, you know, learning that way, a crash course. But it's really cool to see people like Quinn that just take it, run with it. Dude is like winning Phoenix Fashion Week.
Oh yeah,
he's got like accounts doing the cool, all the cool like artist collabs that I'm like jealous of. Like, damn, wish I could have done that.
Yeah, but he came in and I was like, dude, like how has it been? And blah blah blah. Because the last time I saw him was at that halfway mark, and just seeing like all his growth and stuff. I'm like, congratulations, that's cool.
No, it was cool. I actually helped him work the booth for the, like the final Phoenix Fashion Week.
Oh, very cool.
And I came in the day after he had won the award, and it was honestly super sick to be there because like people with like every person that come up was like, oh yo, you're the guy that won, right? Like, oh man, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Giving him, you know, dapping him up, giving him mad props. And I mean, if there's anybody that deserves it, for sure it's Quinn. That dude definitely, you know, I like I said, I've been able to kind of see the trajectory, and dude's just always grinding, always posting, always, you know, literally grinding it until the wheels fall off and then putting new wheels on, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's one thing that we kind of discussed about is like persistency and consistency is just, there's no one else liked it. Like, you know, to do something like what he's done is just, you need that, and so that's like says a lot about him too.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like what, in my opinion, and you know, just kind of seeing other entrepreneurs and stuff like that, people come, people go, people like, you know, do the whole thing. That's kind of, I think, what sets you apart is, you know, just the persistence. You know, are you willing to bleed for it? Are you willing to, you know, ride it, you know, until you have to, you know, to be able to get to where you're going? And you know, he does it, so it's I'm wishing all the best for him. And I think whatever he does, it's going to work out for sure.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody's worried about Quinn.
That's for sure. Let me ask you a couple of things about, like, what are some of the, like, what is your typical inside look for the future of the market would be, you know, things that people need to be on the lookout for, or just in general, just like what you see as far as the community here, especially in Arizona. Like, you know, you were talking about like when we first met, you talked about like a lot of these guys, the brands and the companies know each other just because you guys meet a lot or you guys overlap and kind of connect with one another. So
yeah,
give me a little insight on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually really cool to see. It feels like maybe within the past 2 years, maybe the industry's become a lot more cohesive.
Okay.
When things first started out, there's a lot of competition, a lot of people that were wanting to stay, you know, kind of in their corners and, you know, not deal with anybody else. But now it's really cool. You know, I mentioned before Can of Friends.
Yeah.
That's a really, really cool networking group. You know, shout out Stacy and Amy. They run that and they're amazing. They get together a whole group of, like, you know, essentially all the people that are making the industry happen.
Yeah.
And we all just get together and have drinks and catch up and, you know, see how things are going.
Nice.
It's cool to see people starting to work, you know, more together and to be, you know, a little bit friendlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say things to look out for, particularly, everybody's growing really, really great flower right now, which is good. Upcoming brands, Sublime is doing a really, really great brand. Ricky, Steve, Erica, everybody out there is, you know, kicking ass. Sunday Goods, they're actually a nice flower brand, I believe. They do flower and vapes. They grow on a farm down in Wilcox.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's apparently huge. Apparently, it's like 300,000 square feet. Or something like, I don't know. I'm not trying to put their stuff out there. But apparently it's huge. And they do a really amazing job of kind of bringing what I would see as upper echelon, top tier branding into the cannabis market.
Oh, nice.
So, I ordered from there. They have a delivery service.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and I ordered from their delivery service the other day. It was easier than ordering from Amazon Prime. I swear to God.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like you order it, order it online. Everything looks amazing when you're ordering it online. And then, you know, obviously you have to give them information first, patient card, ID, and stuff like that. Person shows up in, their colors are like blue, gold, and white.
Uh-huh.
And the person shows up in a blue Prius, like super on brand, rocking all the Sunday Good stuff. I was a first time patient and he was like, "You need any information on the goods?" And like he was really reinforcing it. And like at the end when he like left, dapped me up and he was like, "All right, man, have a good day, feel good." And I was just like, "Dude, done." And I'm already, I haven't even hit the shit and I'm already feeling great. So
nice.
Yeah. So they seem to be like, what's really cool is it seems like they're just banking on rather than getting the most for their buck. It mm-hmm. seems like they're really putting a lot into their company and their brand
mm-hmm.
and, you know, hoping that it'll cultivate. And I think it will. You know, I think that it's already starting to turn well for them.
I mean, too, to also imagine, like, farm-to-table goods like that. Like,
yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, farm-to-table, so to speak.
In a sense, like, that's what it is.
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. Another thing to look out for, I can't even believe I didn't mention this dude yet, Peyton Curry from Flourish.
Okay.
He's a restaurateur / owner of Flourish, and he's been doing a lot of really, really cool cannabis-infused food events.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the last one I saw was actually over at, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Pig and Pickle. Mm. It's a restaurant right over there off McDowell.
Okay.
And so they closed off the restaurant for a night and had a private event with like some high-quality, fine dining infused with cannabis.
Nice.
Yeah, like
I'm very excited because there's just like there's again another show on Viceland. There's like Bon Appetit.
It was real life Bon Appetit. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, it was like the five course. Yes. Like nicer than I eat in real life, you know, like when I'm trying to go out somewhere. And on top of that, it's infused. And
Man, that's got to be a fun little event. Because, like, the things that I see is just like with the infusion, you could do anything from THC to CBD and kind of level out the balances and things like that. And
Yeah. And you're seeing a lot more of that as well, like just CBD infused stuff.
Yeah.
And even at like events, another cool thing about the industry becoming more cohesive is there's a lot more of what they call consumption events, where they're working with local establishments that allow them to be able to host medicated events, you know,
nice.
With like, you know, smoking, obviously outside.
Yeah.
But like, you know, smoking and edibles, infused stuff.
Very cool.
For, you know, patient cardholders that come in.
Nice.
And so, yeah, you know, it's really cool to, you know, see a lot more like, you know, sometimes it'll be full spectrum where it's THC and CBD, or sometimes it's just a CBD dip or something like that where, you know, you just need a little CBD, you know.
There you
little
go.
Chip and dip, whatever.
I'm excited just because you're with your guys's background and being such an adaptable kind of event sort of space. You guys could be at an event that doesn't necessarily have to be consumption based. You guys can fill in with other different brands and things like that. So I'm very excited because you will be experiencing sort of different events, not just food related events, and you guys can be at any sort of kind of like,
yeah. Well, because that is something that we do when we set up at dispensaries. We'll usually offer, you know, like a buy two get one or something like that, but we'll set up with a representative that has non-medicated samples up
nice.
front.
Okay.
Just so you can, like, you know, try the flavor or something like that.
And, very cool,
you know, giving out you know, education material and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there are a lot more of you know, cannabis brands that are starting to come out to events like the Second Saturdays or like Phoenix Pride and stuff like that.
Very cool.
And just setting up booths that are not medicated, but just to kind of get the brand out there. Mm-hmm. And I think it also just helps to normalize cannabis, you know, in the everyday life, you know. Like you see like, you know, a jam, you know, a homemade jam booth right here. You know, you see like, you know, maybe a you know, light booth over here, and then you see a cannabis booth, and by the end of it, you know, you kind of, it's not even out of the ordinary.
Yeah. It's just kind of seamless.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think that's kind of what it helps to do is, you know, ingrain it more into the culture to where it's, you know, more normalized and people aren't so marginalized for using cannabis products.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited about this because you are also the greatest point of reference to like some of these other guys that we've been trying to get a hold of. It's just for me, it's always been about education.
Yeah.
I think there's a very big stigma on like learning about cannabis and what the opportunities it brings. One being ice cream, and everyone screams for ice cream essentially. And you know, learning about the topical sprays that we brought in here. But it's just like, again, like you were saying, the networking, and you're shouting basically these group of people that you've just encountered all throughout your experience. And I think it's a cool, I think it's a cool culture that like you guys know each other on that level. And it's I feel like it's a good thing for Arizona just because I've seen the market in this environment of entrepreneurs that so many of them are very well connected, and I think that it helps that you guys are the same way. You guys are helping one another, and this is a good thing for Arizona because you guys help each other so much. We need that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, especially when you know, with a movement like cannabis, where again, you know, we're not even legalized in half of the 50 states, you know.
Yeah.
It helps for us to all, you know, be together because we all are on the same side of the fight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We are all on, you know, same side of the struggle essentially. And so, you know, it's cool for us to be able to be, you know, even though some of us may be in direct competition or whatever, we're still able to, at the end of the day, usually chum it up, hang out, you know, grab a beer, smoke a joint or whatever, and, you know, and hang out and stuff like that. So I've, you know, honestly, I've made some of the best friends that I have in the cannabis industry, and I'm pretty blessed to be a part of it. So
One part of this is actually the political side. And we actually talked about a little before when we first met. You know, I met you a little bit after the elections and
Prop 205.
And we talked a little bit about it. And, you know, where, you know, I know that you have to be a part of it politically. Like, where is a lot of the next steps after Prop 205? What are you guys kind of looking at now?
So the next steps after Prop 205, you know, I'm not gonna lie, Prop 205 was a very, very interesting whole thing, you know. The everything from, you know, the bill itself down to, you know, just the election cycle that it was a part of. I think all of it kind of added to its detriment. I'm really interested to see, like, you know, what the next step is for the MPP, that's the Marijuana Policy Project, the lobbying group that usually writes a lot of the legislative efforts for legalization around the country. I'm interested to see, like, you know, what their next step is. I know that they're working for 2020 as opposed to 2018. You know, bills like that always do better, you know, when there's a larger turnout, mm-hmm. whenever it's like a general presidential election season.
Yeah. I think that's another thing, too. I mean, we also recently basically have one of our senators or representatives stepping down.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake is like, does that take into a part like anything with the lobbyists or anything? Like, does that kind of make a ripple effect down to you guys?
I mean, sure, it would be great to have somebody that's, you know, a Democrat in there, because the Democratic Party is typically, you know, a mm-hmm. little bit more privy to, you know, cannabis legalization. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not betting that we'll see that. And so it's, in essence, we'll probably see something that is pretty similar to what we have now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to, you know, make a major ripple effect. You know, of course, we're seeing Jeff Sessions up on the federal level. You know, kind of taunting and seemingly threatening some of aspects of the at least recreational medical recreational marijuana market. Mm. But here on the really what affects us the most is lobbying with our local representatives.
Yeah.
So we have Representative Mark Cardenas, who comes out very regularly to our MEDA events. Mm-hmm. He has a great relationship with the industry. Mm-hmm. And Dimitri Downing from Marijuana Industry Trade Association has great representation with a couple other representatives in our local government.
Okay.
And that's what I think really affects us most in the industry, because that's going to help us push forward some of our agenda in terms of, like, there's a big push right now by the industry to help lower patient card costs.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's $150 just to the state to get your medical marijuana card, and then usually $99 on top of that to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting that down to something that's a lot more reasonable, okay. maybe to 50 or even down to, you know, 75 or something like that.
Okay.
That's going to help us out a lot more to be able to open up the market, mm-hmm. get more people with their cards, again, get the education out.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot of what we're focusing on, is just lobbying our local representatives. You know, I think the political action committee we have is called AMAPAC, Arizona Medical Marijuana Association Political Action Committee. Shout out Taylor Swick. He helps out.
He sounds too much like Taylor Swift, man.
I know. Everybody,
he's got to change that.
I thought that he said Taylor Swift when he first said his name, but then I read it like somewhere, so I'm glad I didn't like mention that when I met him first time. But he's our dude that, you know, as far as I know, he's still there helping us, you know, lobby for the local awesome. Representatives.
Yeah, that's great. I'm, you know, genuinely, I want to look at the bigger picture, and like, again, a lot of my connection to this is that, you know, the medical side and learning and educating myself on that. And, you know, one part too is like the political side. We talked about the 205 for a while, and I was genuinely interested in whether or not that was going to pass or not. And it was one of those things that it was a close one. I mean, I felt like it looked like a close one. And
yeah, I mean, it came out to, I guess what some people would call, I guess, a little bit less than close.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, it seemed like culturally it was close. And what it came down to is, it was interesting, man. I knew lots of people, actually, that mm-hmm. were not only medical marijuana patients, but people that work in the industry
mm-hmm.
that were not happy with the bill, and they voted against it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I did not take that into account.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, I'm not going to say that the bill was perfect. If people want my personal opinion, mm-hmm. I think it was pretty much on par with what you see in Colorado, mm-hmm. in Nevada, and in you know, other states that are recreational legalized.
Okay.
I didn't think it was super far out of the norm. But what it was a victim of is, it was a victim of the outsiders election cycle. You know, we saw that, you know, with Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
people were really, really drawn to, you know, the outsiders, the anti-establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was a bill that was not only written by, you know, a big Washington lobbying firm, but it was written with the help of dispensary owners.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a few, you know, for example, dispensary owners were going to have a 6-month head start on licensing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple other, you know, things like that that were written in for them. But when you look at that, at the overall landscape of legalization, that's the same thing that they had in Colorado, and it's the same timeline that they have in Nevada, you know, other states that okay. they're being able to implement recreational pretty seamlessly. So okay. I think that a lot of it just came down to the fact that it was a part of an election cycle that really favored outsiders.
Got it.
This was not an outsider bill.
Got it. So explain to me then a little bit more in detail of how the breakdown comes to, like, you know, the you were saying it was similar to Colorado in a sense that the breakdown of where the taxation goes or where...
It was similar to Colorado in the allotments of how much you're allowed to possess. So I believe you're allowed to possess 1 ounce of flour and then 7 grams of concentrate.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it is 1 ounce of flour in Colorado as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the concentrate number. But and in Nevada, I'm pretty sure it's also 1 ounce in public. You know, so it wasn't too far off, but... The current allotment for medical marijuana patients is 2.5 ounces.
Yeah.
So I guess when you compare it to that, you know, it's literally, you know, less than half.
Yeah. But at the same time, too, it's like, I think there's got to be a way to, like, because if you're a patient, too, I mean, you wouldn't leave the doctor's office without your medicine and maybe, like, a month's worth of that medicine or something like that, you know, allotment-wise.
Well, and the thing is, you know, patients' rights were going to stay intact, you know, so the medical marijuana program, if you wanted to still, you know, pay to have your medical card and, you know, go to your doctor to have a certification, you would still be able to possess your 2.5 ounces.
Okay.
You know, but again, you know, it got spun into a lot of the, I think just the, you know, political climate and things like that of people believing that their rights were being limited.
Okay.
When in fact your rights are being expanded because you weren't going to have to, you know, have a medical card to possess it. You were just going to have an Arizona state ID
or you just, you know, walk into the building.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the one thing that I think was kind of a heartbreak for me was thinking about, you know, people that, you know, aren't fortunate enough to be able to you know, get a medical marijuana, or not fortunate, but people that don't have an ailment to have a medical marijuana card.
Thanksgiving dinner.
Nice. Okay.
We come home from dinner and we put up a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We are back.
We're back. Okay,
we're back. Good. Yes. We got cut off a little bit because I'm an idiot and I forgot to clear out the card. That's my fault. But I hate clearing out the card because I hate saying goodbye to friends that we did podcasts with. So hearing their voices is like, no, I got to delete you.
Like one last goodbye.
One last goodbye. I think the last part was just like we were talking about the political side of it and just kind of the overall atmosphere and after Prop 205 and kind of like what are some of the next steps. And I appreciate you going into detail about it and just giving us some highlights on that. But I think the next thing is just like for you personally, I want to hear some like ultimate goals out of all of this and just kind of like the overall, it's nice to like have your own business. Like what are some other goals that you're looking forward with this brand, maybe in something else in the future? What are the 10-year goals?
Well, obviously, you know, we'd love to grow Cream to, you know, as big as it could be. You know, we want to be making every different kind of ice cream product you can think of. You know, we are working on like cookie based ice cream sandwiches.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the next thing. You know,
cookie ice cream sandwiches sounds good right now.
Yeah, I know, right? I might have to stop by DQ and copy it myself or something. Yeah. But yeah, we will, ideally, you know, when people think of you know, cannabis ice cream, you know, overall, you know, in the whole country, we'd like them to think of Cream, you know.
Yeah.
I know right now we are the only ice cream here in Arizona, and that's great. You know, but we would like to, you know, stretch it, you know, from coast to coast. You know, beyond that, I also have, you know, a couple of other tricks up my sleeve. You know, people should keep on the lookout for a couple of other things I'm trying to bring to market. I do have another brand that, you know, I do have to keep a little bit hush-hush.
Okay.
But another, you know, niche boutique brand that's going to be coming to market pretty soon.
Under cannabis or not?
Yes, also under cannabis. Okay. So it's going to be an infused product.
Okay.
Working with some really, really great, awesome local entrepreneurs with that as well.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much. And yeah, so that, beyond that, you know, I'd like to eventually branch out into other markets and stuff like that.
Very cool.
You know, maybe get away from food, but I love food so much. You know, I always have new ideas.
Do what you love. Do what you love. That's what all I have to say is that I do this. I and you know, there's been ups and downs to it, but I think at the end of the day, I come back to it, and I'm just so excited whenever I meet new people like yourself, and cool products.
That's well, like, yeah, man. I mean, yo, you've been gassing me up all night, man. But yeah, honestly, this is a really cool setup right here.
Thank
I really
you, think appreciate you guys it. Are doing something
cool. I've been trying to get on here for months. I've been super stoked. So I'm
we talked. We talked. You were let me get in here. Yeah, I was you're gonna get it.
Exactly. So I'm super stoked to be here. Very honored and privileged.
Thank you, John.
excited to listen to this on my daily commute sometime.
Absolutely, and I think we were at somewhere around like 45 minutes, and we're just rounding it out and rounding it down, and I'm gonna throw it to Brittany for a question, because this is called Brittany's question. Go, Brittany. No, I'm just kidding. Take your time, breathe it out.
How do you introduce what you do to strangers?
Well, the nice thing, interestingly enough, is when you say weed ice cream, people tend to lose their shit a little bit. So that's one thing that's actually extraordinarily easy.
Exactly what you said to me. It's like weed ice cream. I was like, I held his shoulder. I was like, wait, what?
yeah. So it's like, you know, if I'm meeting, you know, someone's maybe a little more professional or something like that, I'll dress it up as, you know, we're a medical marijuana infused brand. We specialize in ice cream. But I'm telling you, as soon as I say ice cream, it's like people forget even what I was talking about.
I think there's a joy behind ice cream that like people just like, you say ice cream and people are in.
exactly.
I want to taste it.
exactly. So actually, I definitely I appreciate you having me on here. So I got to get you some samples.
Thank you, I appreciate it. And also, let all your friends know, honestly, like everyone that you shouted out, let them know that they're more than welcome to come on here, because that's what we're all about. And, you know, I don't want them to be afraid. Like, no one should ever be, you know, fearful to come on our show and feel judged or anything, because I honestly, this is about you guys. It's about your voices, your past, your accomplishments. Everything about this podcast is about the people and the entrepreneurs that come in here. And it's never been about me. And I always want interesting new things in here as much as we can. And I like jumping into the cannabis culture, because they do, like you say, they make fun of them. They're able to make fun of themselves, but also in the sense that they also innovate at the same time too. I feel like they're very creative. They're very open and honest with themselves, and I like that.
Yeah, no, it's true. There doesn't, you know, especially, you know, when it comes to the people that are representing the companies, it seems like there's not a lot of you know, puff up and a lot of ego. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, everybody's proud, you know, everybody wants to show off their stuff, but people are pretty approachable, and I'm definitely going to be sending some people your way for sure.
Thank you. So I appreciate it.
I already have a couple names in mind that I know will be very happy to be on here.
Awesome. So. Well, at the end, we usually kick it off to you to tell everyone where they can find you online and any other events that you got coming up that people should know about.
Yeah, definitely. So you can find us at www.creamandcannabis.com. We're also available. All of our socials are at cream.boutiques. The next big event you're going to be able to find us at is probably going to be Earl Cup. It's happening early January. I should know the date, but it's gonna be here in Phoenix. So this is gonna be our second year. We don't have an entry into the cup, but we will have a booth. Nice. We're gonna be giving away hats, we're gonna be giving away t-shirts, non-medicated samples, or actually that'll be a consumption event, so
that will
we'll
be.
Have medicated samples.
Boom.
Exactly. So
Marshmallow will be there.
What's that?
The marshmallow flavor? Are you guys thinking about bringing it out?
The s'mores flavor?
S'mores flavor, sorry.
That actually will not be there, no. But we will have our non-dairy flavors there as well. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Get your lactose intolerant on for sure.
Yeah, I know. I told them. I was like, I'm lactose intolerant. Like, I'm trying to stay. But it's good, though. I'm excited. I'm very excited. And again, guys, you can reach us at findingarizonapodcast.com. All our social is Finding Arizona Podcasts at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you to Sean for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Absolutely. Real. I really appreciate it. It's been an awesome experience. Definitely.
And with that, we say good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.